afternoon or good evening, depending on where you are in the world, and welcome to Dark Reading Radio. This episode of Dark Reading Radio is brought to you by Cisco. Cisco's threat-centric security provides one of the industry's most comprehensive advanced threat protection portfolios of products and solutions. Cisco's threat-centric and operational approach to security reduces complexity while providing superior visibility, continuous control, and advanced threat protection across the extended network and the entire attack continuum. Today's episode of Dark Reading Radio is Endpoint Security Transformed. Your host will be Executive Editor of Dark Reading, Kelly Jackson Higgins. She'll be with you in just a moment to begin the conversation, but before she does, I want to remind you that this is a conversation not just between Kelly and her guests, but involving everyone in the Dark Reading community. To add your voice to the discussion, all you have to do is type your comment or question into the box labeled Your Post, then be sure to click that big red Post button beneath the box. Kelly and her guests will be joining the conversation at the bottom of the hour, so feel free to go ahead, introduce yourself, and begin to take part in this great conversation. Well, Kelly, to get the conversation started, we'll turn things over to you.
Thank you, Kurt. I'm really pleased to have here with me today a couple of two very important representatives in this industry in the endpoint side of things from their companies. First, we have Edward Metcalf, who's Director of Product and Solutions at Intel Security McAfee. We originally had Candace Worley, Senior VP and General Manager of Endpoint Security, was going to be here, but she had a last-minute conflict, and Edward is a member of Candace's team. We also have Ryan Kazantzian, who is the Chief Security Strategist at Tanium, which recently secured additional VC capital funding. I think now they're a total of $262 million in funding. And I want to thank Ryan and Ed for being with us today.
Thank you all. Excited to be here.
So sort of to get to set the stage here, I wanted to just sort of the obvious elephant in the room that we know is that antivirus is officially sort of failing as the main security defense for the endpoint. Polymorphic malware is getting past it. Zero days are getting past it. We've seen this wave over the past year or so of startups and veteran security firms moving away from the pure signature-based protection approach to something that's more proactive and adaptive that includes mitigation sort of to better match the threats. And as we know, the endpoint is typically the weakest link that attackers target now. So modern endpoint security technology is all about focusing on the client as both patient zero and also as a valuable source of attack forensics intel. Gartner has coined this new generation or next generation endpoint detection response, a.k.a. EDR. We always have to have an acronym. So, Ryan, let's start with you. What do you see as the key must-haves of endpoint security technology today and why?
Sure. So at a broad level, I look at a few different axes. One is capabilities for your endpoint solution, and broadly speaking, they can fall into the categories of visibility. At a simple level, you can't secure what you can't monitor, control, and analysis. And overlaid with those capabilities are simplicity, scale, and speed. So how effectively can you apply those capabilities across any environment of any size, including today's modern, highly distributed environments? And I think the key there is that the focus has to be across the entire span of endpoint security, which is not just focusing on malware, preventing exploits, preventing and detecting malicious code, but instead addressing the entire attack lifecycle and the entire security space, meaning, as you just said, signature-based detection is dead. But more than that, I think, focusing exclusively on exploits and kind of the appealing and sexy bits of attacks don't prevent a lot of the other phases of intrusions that allow attackers to be so successful. And I think taking this more holistic approach to endpoint security and control is really the key for moving forward.
So, Ed, what do you see as the key elements and what sort of features and strategies does Intel McAfee have for this space?
Great question. You know, with the rising volume of and even complexity of threats out there today, many of our customers must evolve their approach. know, to protecting that vital services and information from theft or manipulation or even loss of data from external and even internal factors. And while the industry has focused on deterministic, i.e. known good or known bad protection technologies, which still remain critically important in an overall layered endpoint security strategy, we believe a kind of a comprehensive approach to endpoint security must include a number of technologies, from the signature, knowing what's good to run and what malware is known that we can quickly detect and remove from an endpoint, but also looking into the detection and diving deep in, and as Ryan mentioned, the visibility and getting that visibility of those threats that occur that oftentimes gets past the first layer of defense that need to be quickly determined that are on an endpoint in your infrastructure so that action can be taken quickly to either prevent data loss or prevent propagation of that threat. And so in addition to that, you know, data protection is a key piece to an endpoint security strategy, and that might include encryption or leveraging the native encryption in the OSs or device control or other types of technology. And as you said earlier, Kelly, the ability to deploy EDR-like technologies to quickly identify and search out those threats in your endpoints to find that patient zero, to quickly put a stop to some of those threats is critically important. And then having those strong detection capabilities with the ability to really hunt and kill and quickly do that in a way that you can stop the propagation of malware is critical. And then finally, we know larger enterprises certainly have to have centralized management that manage the entire endpoint security infrastructure. And sometimes that's overlooked, especially as more and more organizations are looking to deploying different types of tools on the endpoint to really combat these today's advanced targeted attacks.
So Ed, where is Intel McAfee right now in terms of rolling out these sort of newer features? I know you guys have had whitelisting and HIPS for a while, but where are you in terms of some of these other more sort of the next-gen stuff?
Yeah, we certainly have focused on the traditional ones, as you just mentioned, but also developing additional technologies that help provide a collaborative protection process across different security modules, and those might be looking at non-deterministic files and using behavioral-based technology. EDR is certainly something that's critically important that we have a solution for, and certainly going to be announcing some new solutions here very shortly around using the endpoint detection and response capabilities within our platform already to help organizations uncover that patient zero. We also feel that many of the different tools solve different challenges. You know, for example, you know, the signature-based stuff for known bad threats, application whitelisting for known good. But there's we certainly are adding additional technologies into our portfolio that include EDR, advanced behavioral, reputational-based technologies that take into account a reputation of a file or a certificate is also a big part of the portfolio moving forward.
So I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ryan.
I was going to point out one thing that I found interesting over the years, and the 6 or 7 past years I've spent in a services capacity when I was at Mandiant before I joined Tanium, leading incident response investigations and working with companies that had been compromised by targeted attacks. And one of the interesting takeaways I took from that experience was looking at what was common among the victims, and every single one of them had antivirus. Every single one of them had HIPS. They had SIM technology, they had network and host-based intrusion detection solutions, and they were all compromised. And they weren't compromised because of rootkits or advanced hardware-resident malware or incredibly covert techniques, nor were they compromised in ways that advanced cloud-based signatures or reputation monitoring would have helped. They were compromised because they failed at the most basic levels of security hygiene, because they lacked comprehensive control of the environment. So they had pockets of the network that weren't consistently secured. They had weak authentication. They had lack of network segmentation. And all of the anti-malware controls and all of the reputation services in the world won't matter when an attacker gains an initial foothold, gets some valid credentials, and starts moving around environments and abusing those. Because at that point, you're not tracking a user that or an attacker that's using malware. You're tracking someone that's abusing the native operating system and the native environment to achieve their goals. And that's what I think a lot of organizations have found in the past few years that has really stymied them and has really made them rethink, what is my endpoint strategy and how do I really address this? Because it's not a malware problem. It's really a problem of enforcing good security hygiene and having the visibility and control to determine when something deviates from what's expected, regardless of the attack vector.
What's interesting to me is every time I talk to an organization who's looking at sort of the EDR stuff or even talking to some of the EDR vendors, very few companies are willing to just pull out or pull the plug on AV. They're looking at the next generation as kind of another layer, and they feel like AV still needs to be there to get, I guess, the housekeeping type day-to-day malware type stuff. So, you know, we keep hearing, oh, AV's dead, but it really isn't. I mean, it's still out there, right? It's still being, not many people are pulling it out per se. We have a few examples, I guess, Netflix and a couple others, but for the most part, most companies are still considering that part of their security defense in depth. So I guess my question for you guys is the infamous question, is AV dead?
So, you know, I think that, as you just said, it will be very difficult for many organizations to shed antivirus, if for no other reason than the fact that there's a litany of compliance requirements and regulations across pretty much every industry vertical you could look at, as well as things like internal audit, that literally mandates antivirus be present, irrespective of whether it is effective to a certain degree. But setting that aside, and I think that's definitely a point of friction, I think, as Ed mentioned, antivirus and signature-based technology does provide a layer of control. It does reduce the amount of noise of nuisance malware and commodity malware infections that an organization has to deal with, and that's certainly a good thing that allows teams to prioritize and focus on what's really important and impactful. However, I do think that what you've seen over the years is that that capability has become commoditized, and that from a practical standpoint, the actual degree of difference between competing solutions purely in the signature-based detection space is becoming increasingly insignificant. And, you know, from my perspective, replacing a solution that maybe detects 60% of threats with one that detects 70% of threats doesn't really move the bar that much forward. Your team is still dealing with all of the mass malware that it's missed, as well as all of the targeted campaign stuff, which might be much more significant.
Yeah, Ryan, so, I agree, certainly. I think AV does play a role in the overall security strategy for an endpoint, and it's not the be-all, end-all for sure. And I think many of our customers, as you pointed out, have to deploy AV because of compliance and regulations that force them to deploy antivirus. And you know, I guess there is a need to still block the nuisance malware out there and the day-to-day stuff that seems to get in. But many of the customers that are looking to add additional technologies to the endpoint, you know, have told us that they have to get additional technologies in order to help block the 20 to 10% of threats that get passed. And it's not just about blocking from the outside either, as you mentioned earlier. It's about getting control of your environment, especially larger organizations. We see that if they don't have the visibility into, at the minimum, their endpoints and what OSs are running and what cloud services people are attaching to and what data that they are storing in the cloud, without that visibility, it's hard to secure anything. What you can't secure it if you can't see it is kind of that mantra. But, you know, that's funny. AV is, that statement had been made years ago or a few years ago, and it's still, you know, it's, AV is still being deployed as part of an endpoint security strategy, albeit it is commoditized. And I agree, you know, a 60% or an 80% detection of that malware is good, but, you know, it's the other 20 to 30% that gets passed, that gets in your infrastructure, that gets deployed, or that the threats that get in your infrastructure that start stealing data and causing issues is still something that needs to be addressed. And I think additional technologies, as we talked about already, reputational-based, behavioral, getting the better visibility of patient zero and the patterns that those threats have taken in your environment is critical. But, you know, AV still plays an important role, certainly not the only role by any means, but part of an overall security strategy for the endpoint.
So Ryan, there are a ton of startups right now in the EDR space, including your company, but overall the numbers of adoption in terms of the big picture are really still not there yet. I think Gartner estimates like 2% of enterprises are using these products now, and they have some numbers of it, like I guess by 2018, 80% of endpoint protection platforms will have this user activity monitoring and forensics piece versus, I guess, 5% a couple of years ago. So they see, like, even the existing platforms getting more and more of these features. But it seems to be taking a long time for us to get from the traditional AV space to this EDR space. Why do you think that's taking a while?
Sure. That's a great question. I think there's a few points of resistance. One is that most organizations simply do not want to introduce yet another agent into their environment. You look in the taskbar on an average corporate endpoint, and you've got far too many icons in addition to all the background services. You've got your AV agent, your HIPS agent, your application whitelisting or file reputation service agent, your configuration management agent, and it's just too much. And so for us, one of the key strategies has been to, you know, do consolidation, and I think most of the organizations we work with are really happy to be able to shed multiple agents and replace them with a single piece of software. Likewise, from a resource management perspective, if you look at how security operations teams have evolved, in recent years, more mature organizations have implemented CERT teams, incident response teams that are basically dedicated to advanced hunting and forensics. Smaller organizations still don't have those. Many still are operating on a help desk and SOC, taking charge of all incident-related work and all proactive and reactive detection tasks. And so for those organizations, it's all about simplification. It's about, you know, taking an organization that currently has to look at 10 different consoles and correlate network and host-based events across a whole slew of different platforms and trying to demonstrate that, you know, you can do resource reduction and you don't need that many tools and that many people. Because in the end, all of these security efforts are intrinsically an overhead for the environment and for the business. And so simplification and cost reduction, both at a technical level with agent reduction and at an operational level to let fewer people be more effective, are really the key drivers. And I think, again, as I said earlier, enough organizations have been breached at this point, or have seen other companies and likewise their peers breached, that they've realized the incumbent technology stacks are simply not working. So the trend is there. They're absolutely revisiting what they're doing, and I think it's moving in the right direction. But it's naturally going to take time. Large IT environments don't change overnight.
Well, that makes total sense. Ed, do you want to weigh in on that as well from what you're seeing on your customer side? We didn't lose Ed. In terms of the time it's taking for customers to move towards EDR?
Yes, sorry. Sorry, Kelly. Yeah, I was on mute there. Yeah, we are seeing a number of things, many of the things Ryan just mentioned as well. An expanding attack surface where, you know, IT is increasingly blind to the threats and the data risks that exist in their organization. And more users are bypassing IT to use the cloud and their own devices, and even IoT and other specialized endpoints are driving up traffic and more risk exposure there. And that the attack surface has changed. Gartner put out a report saying that 70 to 90% of the malware samples detected were unique to an organization. So that makes it hard for the traditional stack of security that's based on knowing something is bad to do anything about it. And that's why you're seeing a lot of the threats get passed to traditional stuff. You know, that's one. The imperative of time is critical. We talked about getting better visibility and knowing what's in your infrastructure, but increasing attacker sophistication and the rising cost of breaches has raised the stakes for security practitioners today. And so once an attack has gotten into your infrastructure, they spend a lot of time searching for their targets and identifying and countering additional defenses, and they're smart groups. And it takes a large organization an average of about 31 days at a cost of about $20,000 a day to clean up. And Ryan, you being having a lot of experience in incident response can probably support that as well. But it takes a lot of resources to clean things up once their data breach has been identified and it's been visible for some time. And then finally, as you mentioned, Ryan, the acute resource constraints that are put on IT organizations today. And while some larger enterprises are deploying CERT teams for the critical threats that come in and the critical data breaches that occur, still many security practitioners are struggling with the rise of these different attack surfaces and their growing environmental endpoints, right? Getting more and more endpoints, having users access data in the cloud, and the combination of all that, all three of those things are really driving customers to telling us that they need more, and they obviously do, for sure.
Ryan, I'm wondering from your customers who do go the EDR route, who are going that direction, what are some of the, I guess, the challenges or for them from the get-go on these deployments? It's a little bit different approach. Like I know you mentioned that in terms of resources you have to have, you still have, you know, this whole element of threat intelligence coming from the endpoint that you didn't have before. What are some of the things that they're experiencing that are, you know, sort of lessons that could be passed on to future customers?
So I think the most important thing is changing the existing paradigm of organizational silos between incident response or CERT teams, SOC teams, and IT operations teams. From my prior experience, I think the more closely those teams can work and collaborate and share the same so-called pane of glass for managing and securing systems, the more effective organizations are overall. I think right now a lot of companies are still struggling with the fact that those divisions exist, and it really inhibits security. As I alluded to earlier, most attackers, especially targeted attackers, are successful because of really basic stuff. If you look at, for example, the Verizon Data Breach Investigations Report, the most recent one they released this year, among other statistics, cited that over 99% of the exploited vulnerabilities were over a year old. In the cases they tracked, which demonstrates really clearly how something as fundamentally basic as patch management, which here we are, like how many decades into security and technology, the organizations are still struggling to get that right. When an operations team is effective at securing infrastructure, the SOC and CERT team have less to respond to, less noise to deal with, and they can likewise be more effective at identifying and resolving threats and then passing those lessons learned back to the operations team to harden the environment. Because the worst possible thing that you can have is an organization that becomes really, really good at detecting compromise and never fixes anything that allows those to continue happening, right? You need to take the lessons learned, feed that back into your approach and your technology and organization, and come out of the experience that much more secure. And I think, again, bridging that divide between ops and security is really the way forward to achieve that.
Ed, do you have any thoughts on that from customers that you're talking to out there who want to make the move to these more advanced features and some of the things that they're experiencing when they start deploying them?
Yeah, well, some of the things when they start deploying them is that if they're not integrated with their other sets of technologies, it becomes harder to manage those devices or those technologies on those different devices. And as we talked about before, more and more organizations are looking for additional technologies and solutions to detect and get better visibility and deploy. And you know, if they have to yet again deploy another agent, another console, that becomes another issue for them. And as Ryan, you mentioned, the siloed structures in many IT organizations also makes it difficult too. The endpoint team, the desktop ops team are responsible for getting desktops and making sure users are up and running. And sometimes the security ops team they're in conflict with their different goals, and that oftentimes has challenges. In addition to, you know, the deployment of different agents, and as I said, more and more companies are deploying more endpoint technologies, the performance impact, that becomes a crucial element to making a decision for customers. And you know, as we talked about before, the anti-malware business for a long time has certainly had challenges with taking machines and endpoints and using a lot of performance or having an performance impact. And I think as the industry has grown and matured and we've realized that we can't take that footprint anymore, and customers are really concerned about the performance as well as, you know, the IT ops folks that, you know, are getting calls from people, talking about, you know, securities impeding my business, and that becomes an issue. And I think it's upon us, the vendors in the industry, to optimize our technologies to the best that we can in order to limit any end-user impact that, that we see today. So it is becoming critical. And when we look at for companies wanting to deploy EDR to their endpoints, it's all about visibility and being able to automate that visibility to capture and monitor events like, you know, files and hosts and process objects and contexts, state changes on endpoints to identify those attacks that are in process or some of them lying dormant. And then being able to then take that information and provide some context around that threat or sets of threats and then give them action and making that adapt to the organization, sending alerts to the right teams, adjusting to changes in the attack methodologies and being able to execute against them. And then finally, being able to do that in a repeatable way, continuous, with either, you know, persistently monitoring for activity on the endpoints that trigger alerts on detection attack events and alerting system administrators or security SOC teams where those future attacks might be occurring on the endpoint is critical as well.
I can see how this is, you know, an ideal scenario ultimately for large organizations. What about the small to mid-size companies? If they, you know, there is this resource issue, there's this, you know, what do you do with the information issue? There's some intelligence gathering and analysis you have to do. How does this fit for the SMB space? Ryan, can you start with that one?
Sure. I think the key there is simplification. You know, in smaller environments, the, you know, speed and scale may not be as big of a differentiator when comparing different products, but simplicity is still key. Number of agents that you're expecting your end user to run, number of interfaces that you're expecting your teams to be trained up on are critical. And, you know, I think as we've been alluding to throughout this conversation, managing and securing endpoints through a single pane of glass and allowing ops and security teams to collaborate makes the transition between proactive hunting and incident detection and response and instant remediation a lot more seamless. And that efficiency benefits small companies just as much, if not more, than large organizations. It also can allow them to, over time, fish for themselves, so to speak, and enable themselves to secure their own environments rather than relying exclusively on perhaps outsourced services for protecting or responding to threats in their environment.
What do you think, Ed? Is there room for SMBs here, or is this a fit for them?
SMBs are getting hit, and the data that they resides in SMB infrastructures are oftentimes a source of information that attackers are also going after. In fact, attackers sometimes don't care how big the organization is as long as they have enough of the data that they need and can make money on. And so we definitely see, you know, medium, small businesses with similar needs, sometimes a little bit different needs, as you mentioned earlier about, you know, ease of use, low impact to the end user, and then the ability to manage. And we are seeing many of those mid-sized and smaller customers taking on and managed services in order to kind of outsource this more important and critical incident response capabilities, but I think there is still a need for the incident response and the higher level security in those mid-sized organizations just as it is with the enterprise.
I can't believe we're at the bottom of our half hour here already. I had a couple other questions, but I had one quick question if you could each answer quickly before we jump onto the chat. I'm going to hand it off to Kurt before we do that, but I'm curious, every time we raise the bar for the attackers, they find a new way in. If we do move as an industry towards this direction of EDR and good visibility on the endpoint, does that ultimately mean the attackers don't go after the endpoint anymore? What do you think? Is that going to, or are they just going to find a new way to get in? Ryan, would you start with that one?
I think the endpoint is and will always be the ultimate security perimeter. I don't think you'd stop attackers from doing that, but what I do think is that you can shift attackers from succeeding at behaving opportunistically and force them to directly target and compromise their intended victim. I think it would be a massive paradigm shift if we could force the attackers that are currently, you know, basically pillaging organizations so easily to have to be a lot work a lot harder to gain access. Behaving opportunistically just makes it that much harder to control all of the different ingress points in an environment. And when we change that, we will have largely reduced the amount of successful attacks and the impact that they have.
Yeah, I agree, Ryan. I think it's a constantly a cat and mouse game against these newer attackers. As we develop additional tools and technologies to protect against, they learn new techniques to get past them, and they have QA teams and testing facilities just like the organizations that develop the tools do to test their threats and attacks against. And so as organizations are looking to deploy more technology or need to deploy more technology, the attackers are going to shift their focus to wherever they can get access to. And I think as more and more organizations move to the cloud and store things in the cloud, I think we may see more attacks at the cloud level. And those attackers may start forcing their efforts around where can they have the biggest bang for the buck. And it only takes one attack on one endpoint to gain access to an entry into an organization, and then they use that from there to build upon. And organizations today have to deal with the problem of, you know, securing every single endpoint in their environment. And the attackers just need to get to that one in order to gain access and keep traversing and moving around and causing damage.
So it goes on and on.
Yes.
Well, I want to thank my guests today, Ryan Kazantsian of Tanium and Ed Metcalf of Intel Security McAfee. This was a great discussion, a topic that I've been looking at very closely the past few months, and it's something I think that we're going to see more and more in the news here over the next year. So I want to thank you both for joining us on the radio show today. I'm going to hand it over to Kurt, who will get us transitioned over to the online chat. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Kelly, and thanks to all of our participants here at Dark Reading Radio. Now, as Kelly mentioned, she, Ryan, and Ed will be moving their conversation from the audio portion of the show to the live text conversation that's already well underway. Now, to add your voice to that conversation, all you have to do is type your comment or question into the Your Post box, then be sure to click that big red post button under the box. If you're listening to this episode in a streaming on-demand version, we're glad you're here, but we do want to remind you that Dark Reading Radio is live every month, and by joining us live, you can take part in this great live discussion. This episode of Dark Reading Radio has been brought to you by Cisco. Cisco's threat-centric security provides one of the industry's most comprehensive advanced threat protection portfolios of products and solutions. Cisco's threat-centric and operational approach to security reduces complexity while providing superior visibility, continuous control, and advanced threat protection across the extended network and the entire attack continuum. Well, now for Kelly Jackson Higgins and everyone at Dark Reading, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.